Hello and welcome back to the Wait, I'm Adopted podcast. I'm Matt.
And I'm Liz.
And here on this podcast, we cover many topics surrounding adoption and foster care.
Yeah, and we just want to thank you guys so much for all your support recently. We just did our first giveaway and so many of you guys entered. Thank you guys so much for that. We picked our winners for that, but don't worry, we'll be doing new giveaways soon with more limited edition Wait, I'm Adopted podcast merch. And get ready for the second part of the interview with Megan. A lot of you have probably talked to her on Instagram. She does all of our social media pretty much, and she's so great at it. She's another international adoptee, so buckle your seatbelts and get ready for an awesome second part of this interview with Megan.
Yeah, let's get right into it with part two with Megan on the Wait, I'm Adopted podcast. Yeah, so like over the past couple episodes, we've kind of been talking about different topics and whatnot. Like one of the topics we covered was like common questions. Now, I mean, I know we talked about a lot of common questions about whether or not you were related biologically with your brother. But what are others, are there other like common questions you were always asked?
Yeah, no, for sure. And like, I think you guys covered a good deal of them in that in your episode, and like I think the most common ones, like, where are you from, like, how old were you, do you remember anything? Also, like, since I'm from Korea, I'd be like, oh, I'm from Korea, and they'd be like, North or South Korea? I'd be like, well, like, nobody comes from the North, so I guess South.
Yeah,
because right. Actually, when I was a kid, am I from the South? Like,
yeah, it's hard, you know, you haven't learned.
Yeah, exactly. I just didn't know. But that was another big question. I guess another one's like, do you want to meet your birth mom?
Yeah.
That's a big one. And I know you guys cover that too. Mm-hmm. And it's just, for me, I think I would, but it's more for, do you remember doing those elementary like family trees?
Yes. We had to do a family tree. I don't know if you remember this. And I did not want to do it because I knew it was going to be a ton of time.
I
pretended to be really sad about being adopted to our teacher. And I was like, oh, I'm adopted. Like, I don't know. And she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And like, I had to do some other like really easy project and I got 100 and everyone else had to like call all their family members.
Yeah.
And I, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay.
It's not a highlight of my academic career, but
I remember talking to my teacher about it, be like, okay, I'm adopted, so how does this work? Like,
yeah.
Like, because it was like basically like, oh, like, look at your mom and dad. Like, do you guys both have like brown eyes? Do you both have like blue and green eyes? Like, what do you have? And it's just like, well, I am completely different from my parents.
And that can definitely be like eye opening too for like teachers to how to approach that.
Yeah.
As like,
sure.
I mean, I've heard many people talk about this family tree thing. I never actually personally did that. But like, I think for teachers out there, like, I think to realize that like maybe we can phrase the questions a little like more like, oh, well, okay, you might not look like you're adoptee parents, but like you can look into
like personality traits or something
like
that.
And exactly. I think having that backup, and I mean, teachers have so much on their plates.
Oh.
Like,
oh, yes,
teaching
for sure
is such an admirable profession. And I think, but like we've talked about, adoption, more awareness has come to it in more recent years, I do feel like. But I think, you know, being aware that there might be kids that like don't have that, you know, like that might not look like their parents. Another big one for me is like family history and doctors. A lot of times I'll be like, oh, I don't know. And they'll kind of be like, well, how do you not know if you have, your family has a history of heart disease? And I'm like,
it's like the family tree, like on 2.0.
Because like as an adult
family tree. Yeah, exactly. It was for like kids, and like this family tree or like having family knowledge is for like adults. So like, I definitely ran into that problem too. But like, I think that was a big thing for me, and I guess traumatic because I still remember it now, is like the family tree project. And I guess I would want to see meet my birth mother just to see, you know, do I have any traits like her? Do I just want to know like what about our family tree? But I know for sure that my mother loves me, my adopted mother.
Yeah.
She loves the stuffing out of me, and like I know there's no other way. She is always going to be my mom.
Exactly.
And, like,
that's how I feel.
I know that for sure. And like, I never think, and she's fine with it too. Like, I've talked to her about it. We've had a conversation about it. She's actually recently just gave me some, like, not birth certificates, but, like, history about my adopted, like, wow, who she awesome. Was or my birth mother was.
Yeah, did you have any pictures or anything
no,
like that?
No, I didn't
that?
Get any.
I have one picture of my birth mom.
I think, like, I have one from, like, the fostering.
Okay.
But it was, like, just me. So it wasn't even, like, my fostering family or anything like that. I think it was just, they were just sending photos to my parents for, like, during the adoption process and everything. Yeah. So, like, I have, like, nothing. I, like, have, like, the backstory of, like, what happened and why I was, like, given up for adoption and everything like that. So, like, for me, I don't know about for you, if you ever, like, try to find the process of trying to meet your birth mother.
I haven't looked into it much. I guess for me, I think a lot of times people put so much pressure on that of, like, you're going to discover who you are, really. And I, you know, I think that I know who I am and I know who my parents are, like you said. And, you know, I've also talked to my parents about it, and they also would not, you know, they are secure in their identity as my parents. Like, me meeting or finding my birth mom would not invalidate my parents now. Like, they would still be my mom and dad. But I don't, I haven't looked much into the process, but I'm guessing you
like
have.
The only reason why I know is because, like, again, from that group, that CNY group, they all, like, kind of have a group knowledge, which is really nice. Right. Also, that's great for, like,
that's great.
Adopted parents, too. Like, they have people, other
a
people.
A network.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, I think for us, it's, we have to travel to South Korea, and I have to fill out these papers saying, like, I would like to meet my birth mother, and that by chance she needs to go to the same place and sign the papers too, so, like, they won't notify either of us if we sign those papers, so it has to be, like, by chance.
Okay.
So, like, that's, like, our process, and, like, I would love to go to South Korea, like.
Yeah, and we've talked about that, like, doing, because I think a lot of people, like, I have another really good friend who I really want to go to Thailand with.
I want to go to Thailand.
Yeah, and so we've talked about, you and I have talked about taking a trip, and, you know, I think that's a big step, would be a big step for both of us, and it's important to go with people who understand the gravity of it. Like, is it for fun? Absolutely. And I, you know, I have this really great friend from high school, and we've talked about for years going, and, you know, I can't wait until we can go. But she is someone who's been so supportive of me my entire life, of my adoption and everything that comes with it. And I know that she is somebody that, if we went, would let me do things at my own pace. Like, I think that's something that's hard, is you want to make sure, like, I, you know, when I go, I want to make sure I don't go with people who are going to push me to, like, well, we're here, like, we have to do all these things, because I think that it is going to be very emotional for both of us when we go there, you know, like, all of a sudden seeing, quote, where I'm from, and, like, you know, you might not feel like doing something the first day. You might just need to take it all in, and going with people that understand that, I think, is very important. And so we've talked about us going together, and then my other friend coming with us. And, but I think it's so important, like, to know kind of what you're getting yourself into. Like, I don't know if your parents offered, but, like, when I was in high school, my parents did offer to take me back, and I was just not ready emotionally. Like, it was too much for me. I, you know, I think a lot of us struggled with our identity in high school, who we are, what we were going to do. And
every high schooler ever.
Yeah. And I think then trying to throw into the mix, like, going back and seeing where I was from was just, it was too much for me.
A little too much. And I can definitely see that.
I was like, I am not, like, I was like, duh.
No, exactly. My mom has always said that, like, she would want to go with me, but, like, on my own terms, on my, like, own time and everything like that. Like, but we would both love to see it. It's also just a beautiful country to begin with. So
yeah.
I want to go everywhere. I want to go to Japan, like, China, everywhere. Thailand, that's definitely on the list.
I think the hardest thing for me is, I know, like, a lot of Asian food is spicy. And I am, like, the biggest wimp when it comes to spice. And so people always tease me about it because I, like, can't even, like, eat hot sauce.
Yeah, I'm
so
not even a person to be like, oh, yeah, I'm fine with spice. It's like, no. And then as soon as I get it, like, crying.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm straight up forward to be like, nope, not for me.
Yeah.
I need mild.
Yeah, I need, like, extra mild, like, plain white rice. Please do not give me any sort of spice.
All the white rice.
Yeah, so, like, I think that's interesting. I think, and, like, we're kind of hitting on it, like, my fear when I was growing up is that, like, was, like, for me, was getting sent back, and, like, what that meant for me. And I don't know, we've talked a little bit about it, but, like, did you have any fears that, like, kind of stemmed from your adoption story, like, anything? Or, I mean, I think there are some of us that don't.
Yeah, no, for sure. There are definitely, like, fears that go with being adopted. Mm-hmm. But I think in my case, I had a very positive childhood, and yeah. my parents were both so supportive. They yeah. would talk to me about anything and mm-hmm. everything, and especially about being adopted.
Mm-hmm.
They were extremely open, and like we, for my adoption day or your gotcha day or your airplane day, yeah. whatever you call it.
So many different names for it. Yeah.
So many names. We would go to like a local like Korean barbecue place every oh, that's single awesome. Time. For like nice occasions or anything like that. So just like that was enough. And like we yeah. had such a great time. And so I don't think for me, I have any fear stemming from being adopted.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm just extremely fortunate for that.
Yeah. And like we had talked about on our biggest fears episode is like my fears came from within me. Like my parents didn't do anything to perpetuate those fears. And I think, you know, I think that's, like, I'm a classic overthinker, and so I overthink every situation in my life, not just adoption, just everything in general.
And I'm just laughing because we know Liz.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you guys know who I am as a person. And so a lot of my fears were, I don't want to say made up by me, because that's not true. No. Like, they were real fears that I had, but I generated them inside, and then mm-hmm. instead of talking to somebody, I think...
built up. Like
right, over time, until I finally, you know, like, I think... you really helped me confront a lot of them because I could talk to you and like you, first of all, we're always afraid to tell our parents our fears. Like we're always afraid they're going to be like, what, you know, like, or it's harder to talk to parents. You're not afraid of, like always afraid of them, but it's harder to talk to an mm-hmm. adult. Like, it's like, okay, if I talk to an adult about this, like really makes it real. And I remember, you know, talking to you as we got older into high school about things and you being very like holding space for those fears and like, but also like we had said in the episode, that's important to do is to confront them. Like you would nudge me very gently to like, well, why don't you ask your mom about that? Or like, why didn't you tell your mom that that made you feel that way? But like, never like, Liz, you have to do this or I'm not going to be your friend anymore. You
yeah,
know,
you just kind of like have gentle nudging and just right. be that supportive friend that honestly for any relationship,
yeah.
you just need to be supportive. You can't
yes.
force anybody to do anything.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
Might as well just, you know, be their number one supporter and
right.
be in their corner.
And I think for me, all that support over, I mean, you know, as much as you probably wanted to pull your hair out watching me not talk to my parents in high school about things, you know, I think you have seen me grow a lot over the course of the last few years in confronting that. And all that support building up over all those years is really what has made it possible for me to do that. And I think that's, you know, what we try to get across, you know, so often in our episodes is like anything in life, like big things like adoption or anything like that are sometimes hard to process and you need a good support system. And we here on the podcast want to be a good support system,
mm-hmm.
But also find that support system in your life. And you might not be ready tomorrow to confront somebody about something that they said that hurt your feelings. You might not be ready to tell your parents your biggest fear. And that is okay, right? Like, I think that was the biggest thing Megan always told me is, you know, well, you could do this, but it's okay if you're not ready. And I think that's one of the best things you can do in general, not just with
yeah.
adopted people,
mm-hmm.
is, hey, you know what, I think this might help, but no pressure, you know,
like
yeah. I'm here for you and in your corner when you are ready to take that on, I'll be standing right behind you too. And you know how many times I look over my shoulder and ask Megan for support, right? Like I am charging head on into something and I get in over my head and I look back and no matter what it is, whether it's adoption or anything else, Megan has always been there. And
yeah.
I think
it's a joke. Cause like I tell all my friends and like my family, like, if I don't hear from Liz, she's okay. But
yes.
like, if she calls me, I know something's wrong.
Yeah, there were a lot of times in college, Megan, I think I'm going to drop out. This is so hard. And you'd be like, okay, I think that maybe if you just go to sleep and we talk about it, like, let's
just,
talk about it, but then
breathe.
Like, so let's rest.
Like,
yeah. But it's so important to have those people. And
yeah.
if you don't have that person in your life, we here on the podcast can be those people for
of
you.
Course.
Yeah, DM us and you know, we'll
always
be
on social media.
Yeah.
We're always responding to people.
Yes.
Love honestly hearing all the feedback
yes.
so far. Like
yeah.
we just started and we have been getting so many messages
mm-hmm.
and so many like feedback and it's been great honestly. Like since
yeah.
we're just starting, like
yeah. We love hearing
so
your guys' stories.
To grow.
Yeah. yeah. We love hearing your guys' stories. We love meeting you. We read every message and they mean so much to us. And I think kind of on that same thing, I think a lot of what I bounced off you is when things said when people said things that really hurt my feelings. And I don't know if you experienced any of that. I mean, we did talk a little bit about like how someone asked you to say how to say something in Korean. That's obviously was hurtful, but I mean, I think that was oftentimes like when I would need your support was like someone said something and I was like, Megan, I don't even really know how I feel about this, but someone said this and I just don't feel good.
Yeah.
And you would just, first of all, your first thing was you would always reassure me like, well, Liz, that's not true about you or something like that. But I mean, did you ever have anybody say anything? I mean, other than what we talked about that just was like, I remember to this day, this person said this to me and it just really sticks with me.
Or maybe it was said and just kind of was phrased wrong or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, honestly, there's probably been things here and there that like people just kind of make a mistake or it's like they just get their foot in their mouth and they just don't know how to phrase it correctly.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
It's just like I guess a big one's like, oh, are you Chinese? Just like straight out. Are you Chinese? And
oh,
it's
yeah.
Just like, no, but like I'm Korean and like, I'm fine with that. Like, I'm okay with people asking. I'm a pretty open person.
Yeah.
And, like, I welcome those questions. And, like, I would love to have a conversation about it. So I guess maybe that's the biggest one. And then, like, of course, just, like, small things here and there.
Yeah, I do think, yeah, we were often asked, you know, are you Chinese? And that's, you know, one of, like, is it the... I'm not sure if it's the
definitely
largest
definitely for
country,
sure but... the largest, almost the largest. Like, the yeah. most, like, predominantly...
A lot of international adoptees are from China. A lot of Asian international adoptees are from China. And so we did both get asked that a lot. And I think when I was younger, I didn't understand it. Then I went through a phase where I was like, I'm kind of offended that you asked me that. Because, like, I don't... But I was in, like, that phase where everything offended me. So, like, where you don't want to answer anybody's question.
Every middle schooler ever.
Yeah, I was very, like... angsty. I was like, don't talk to me. I'm too cool for this. But now I think you're right. Like sometimes those questions that people don't know how to phrase correctly for people like us who have been able like to work through adoptions and like have, you know, are secure in our adoption stories. Those are great moments to educate somebody about
of course. And it's always coming from a place of they're just interested. It's not to be hurtful or anything.
Oh, no, yeah. You know, like, people ask me questions and they'll be like, I don't know any other adopted person. And I think that's really fascinating because, like, I grew up with you and I grew up with another guy named Vincent who was also adopted. And so I'm like, oh, you don't know anybody that's adopted? But, you know, it's not as predominant in some geographical areas of the country. And so I do think that there, like we have talked about, there are a lot of misconceptions. And so every time someone asks you a question, it is a great opportunity to educate. You know, now they know someone from South Korea, now they know someone from Thailand, and they might be a little more hesitant to ask that question next time. Instead of saying, oh, are you from China? It's better to say, oh, exactly. You know, where are you from? Where were you adopted from? And I mean, there are also Asian kids who are adopted domestically within the United States. So someone's answer might be, oh, well, I'm from Georgia. Like, and then people like to ask, well, where are you from? And, you know, it's like getting to that root. And, but I think you're right. Like a lot of times people just put their foot in their mouth and it's like, oh, I realize now that that was a bad thing. Like, or that was an insensitive thing to ask. I still have the question, but it was like phrased poorly. And so, you know, we talked about creating a safe space when you ask adoptees a question. And like,
I think you bring up that good question of like, where are you really from? And like, I definitely remember actually now that you mention it, like panicking a little bit, like, oh yeah, I'm from New York. And they're like, but no, where are you really from? It's just like,
like the small town?
The small town in Syracuse?
You want the exact, like, road that I live on? Like, I'm not allowed to give out that information. My mom said I'm not allowed to, but...
I don't talk to strangers, sorry.
Do you want my mailing address?
Like, oh, no. But you're right. Like, because I think living here, when people ask, oh, where are you from? We know they're asking where we're adopted from, because they also live here. But when I went to college and people asked me where I was from, about, like, because there are a lot of international... You went to Drexel, I went to Virginia Tech... Both very big colleges with very big contingents of international students. Which was awesome for, I think, both of us to, like, go and be around a diverse group. Yeah, but also, people ask where you're from, and you're like, I'm from New York. And then they think the city, and then you're like, oh, no, upstate New York. And then you're like, no, I'm asking, but, like, where are you from? And I'm like, oh, I'm Thailand. I'm from Thailand.
I'm adopted.
I'm adopted.
South Korea. Yeah, let's talk about, like, college. Like, that was the biggest cultural shock for
me.
Like in my own entire life I've never been like surrounded I guess by other minorities and it was eye-opening truly
I think like when I got on campus people were like, well, can you like teach me how to make sushi? And I was like, I've never even had sushi. Like, you know, we never ate sushi. I'm actually allergic. Like, I've tried it now as an adult and I'm allergic to a lot of types of Asian. It's not Thai. Exactly. And I think that is really funny. Like, it was a huge cultural shock. Like, people ask me, well, then people would be like, well, then, like, how do you make Thai food? And I'm like, oh, I don't know, but I can make a mean bacon cheeseburger. Like,
that's so funny. Because also, like, I think that's really funny. I talked to my boyfriend about this. Just, so my boyfriend is half Chinese and half white. So his mother's side is super Chinese. Yeah. And I've learned so much about the Chinese culture.
Yeah.
I guess I feel more Asian with his family just because, like, you know, they speak the language.
Yeah.
They just have all these different, like, cultural, like, events that they do. And it's just so interesting. But also the food. Mm-hmm. We have been missing out on Asian food, like, our whole entire lives and when we're younger. Because, like, where we live, the closest food is, like, what, 30 minutes? And it's, like, usually
We live out in the country.
It's, like, your chain restaurant. So, like, I don't know, Olive Garden.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of, like, true Asian restaurants. Yeah. And I think that has been really interesting, you know, also for me hanging around Megan and her boyfriend and, like, experiencing some of that culture has been really cool because it's a natural culture. Like, it's not like, hey, we're at a camp where we're, like, clearly learning about this. It's just, like, this is our everyday life. And I think that's really cool for me to see as well. Like, and it interests me and intrigues me. I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, that is huge. Like, it's just their everyday life, though. Like, to me, I'm like, oh, their culture. And it's like, oh, it's just that's them just as a person.
How they're living. Yeah. And it's crazy to me. Like, I've learned so much about their culture and just learned about so many new foods. Like, didn't have, like, curry, I feel like, before I went into college. Never had, like, hot pot or, like, had no idea. Like, there's so many food, like, halal. Like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
We're missing out.
And I think Megan also lives in a big city now.
Yeah, I live in Philadelphia.
Yeah, so she lives in Philly, and, like, whenever we visit you, because Matt and I still live here in upstate New York, Megan takes us to great restaurants where we are able to, you know, eat this, like, really great international food that's done correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's been really cool. And, you know, we try to, obviously, with this current year, we haven't, you know, gotten out as much. But I think that is really cool. I did have the opportunity to travel a good amount when I was younger to, like, more European countries. So I've experienced, like, a lot of more European culture than I have Asian culture. And so when we go and visit, and, you know, I'm always down to try it. I, you know, I've tried sushi probably like 5 or 6 times now, and I'm allergic every time. So I think
you
that that's probably the last
one from, like, Wegmans or anything like that.
No, I've
they
never
have
gotten
the best sushi.
Yeah. Oh, we live near Wegmans and everyone says their sushi is really great, but we went to that really great sushi restaurant in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That's like, that, you know, makes very high end sushi and, like, very good. And
really nice.
I don't know what exactly I'm allergic to in it. So maybe if I try more of it.
I think it's like the wasabi or something, because you're allergic to, like.
Well, I'm allergic to onions.
Sesame seeds? Sorry.
I'm not sure. When I was talking to my mom, she said it might be like the seaweed wrapper.
Oh,
I might be allergic to that.
You should just get all the sushi ingredients, lay it out,
and
just like, have you try
it. One by one, eat it. Yeah. I probably need to take like an allergy test.
That's
part of being an adult that I'm like, oh, how do I call the doctor? Oh, I think I just won't.
Mom, can you call the doctor?
Yeah, hi, Mom. The doctor is asking when I'm free for an appointment.
Do I have insurance?
Yeah, how do I do this? Yeah, adulting is hard, for sure. But I think that is really cool. And, like, I mean, I can't express how thankful I am for our friendship over the years, like, for sure. And us, you know, pushing each other to new, like, heights and new levels, like, I think is awesome.
We've only grown, like, as much, like, honestly, when we were younger, I didn't even share my feelings. I feel like we both were very...
We were very closed off.
Yeah, very closed off. But, like, now, like, we talk about everything and anything, and it's just, we've both grown so much, and it's just, I think that just also comes with age, so...
Yes, yeah.
It's not just adoptees, you know, it's everybody.
Yeah, and I would encourage you, if you're an adopted parent and you feel like your kid is really closed off to you, I think that is one side of... like, side effect or a common thing that happens with a lot of adopted kids is they're not as good with sharing their feelings. And that might take some time. And that's okay. Like, I think Megan and I can attest to that is like, we didn't always know how to process our feelings when we were younger. And so we just didn't talk about them. Like Megan and I are very, we care about efficiency and we just got through our days as efficiently as possible.
Shove it way down as well. Yes. As can go.
Yeah. And so I think, but that does, I mean, that comes with age and maturity as well. Emotional maturity of, I mean, I think if you're adopted or not, it's hard to talk about your feelings and be vulnerable mm-hmm. because you open yourself up to people being mean. And so, you know, but if you are listening to this or if you're adopted and you're like, yeah, I have a really hard time sharing my feelings. We're here for you. And I guarantee there are people in your life that are there for you as well, that want to hear. And, Megan and I both had a friend in high school that is really great. And she pushed us to talk about our feelings.
Oh my gosh. She was the person that grabbed all of our feelings and tried to like pull it out. But yes. In the nicest way.
In the most loving way.
Exactly. The most loving way.
But I realized when I would talk to her, when she would finally get feelings out of me, I was like, wow, this feels so good.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like, oh, I need to talk about my feelings because I can't bottle them up forever. And I remember her saying that exact thing to me, Liz, you can't bottle these up forever. And I was like, haha, watch me. And then I couldn't, like, I can't, and it's unhealthy. And so, you know, she was so patient with us, like, oh my goodness. And she's still so patient with us. Cause even though we are much more open now, we still sometimes struggle to talk about the really hard things and she'll just wait. Like she is mm-hmm. always there. And the second you are ready, she's like, open arms. There. I am holding space for you. Let me hold this for you. And, or let me experience this with you. And I think that's amazing. And she was not adopted.
Yeah, she's not adopted.
She understood that we had these feelings because of our adoption. I think that's something great you can do if you're not adopted. I think Matt does it really well holding space.
Definitely changing and starting to look at your life through the glasses that you see through, like mm-hmm. seeing it through your perspective. I think it's the biggest thing to like understand and like strive to learn more about, mm-hmm. I guess
my question's for you, like, since like dating Liz for so long now, like mm-hmm. is your perspective like of adoption has changed or like
you know, we kind of talked about this like really briefly, but like definitely like growing up, like adoption was like a second choice is like mm-hmm. what it was known as,
right?
Obviously, like, we like went to church and stuff. There was a lot of adoptees at this church we went to, and like learning that it's about placement, and it's not like that's what I learned how to think about adoption is it's not, you're not being taken away from somewhere. It's like you're being placed with a family. And I think that's like, for me, learning about that in that aspect was just like completely kind of changes the approach to adoption.
Exactly. Like, it's just a different journey to your family.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
A little bit different than being biologically born. It's just, I mean, I think what's interesting is, like, everybody's journey to their family is different. Like, Matt was born very premature, spent a lot of time in the NICU. So even his journey is different than a typical baby's journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you look at it in that light, I think one thing that Matt and I always say is strive to be understanding, not to understand. Like, I think a lot of times when you hear somebody that's gone through something, that's lost a loved one or has gone through something hard, you want to be like, oh, I understand. Oh, I understand. I blank.
Mm-hmm.
If someone loses a parent, it's like, oh, I understand. Like, you know, I lost my like very removed uncle that I like didn't really know that well. And you have the best intentions. You're trying to like relate.
To relate them, yeah.
But I think that it's important to be understanding, like strive to be understanding, not to understand, because you never will fully understand it. And even if you've gone through the exact same thing, like we are both internationally adopted from Asian countries,
mm-hmm.
not the same one, but very similar stories, very different adoption stories, very different exactly. feelings towards it. Sometimes. And that's okay, right? Like, you're just understanding of what mm-hmm. I'm going through, and I'm understanding what you're going through. But it's like, oh, it's very easy, our natural instinct to be like, oh, I understand.
It's okay to like wanting to relate, but sometimes it's better to just kind of sit back and just listen to them and just
exactly
like, what are you feeling? Like, I can validate those feelings that exactly. you're going through. And I think that's interesting because you mentioned like a second choice. So like, for my parents, I was actually a second choice. So mm-hmm. my parents first, they of course wanted to have children. And then my mom had some complications and she actually couldn't have children herself. Mm-hmm. So that's where they were like, okay, let's do adoption. So I kind of was a second choice, but like, never in my mind that like she didn't love me like right. less about it.
Right, and it's know? Not it's like a second choice, not in a negative way.
No, which is second
like expanding the love.
I would phrase it as a second option, right? Yes. Like,
Well, that is actually a really good
a second option to like having a family, right? Mm-hmm. Like. I think it's very easy to make adopted kids feel like a second choice, which is saying you're not as good as something else. A second mm-hmm. option is like, you know, it's like picking a food to eat. Do I no, want Italian perfect. Or do I want Mexican yeah. food? Oh, well, they're both really good. I love both of them. Today I'm going to get Italian food or whatever. it's a second option, right? Like,
yeah.
to
wow.
to finding your family.
It's not one word, just changes everything. Exactly. And it's definitely just like a second option. And like, my mom always tells me, like, as soon as she saw me get off the plane, she did not know if that was actually her baby. She just grabbed me and started sobbing on the floor.
Yes.
Like, they were like, oh, is this the Stanford family? She's like, I don't care. This is my baby.
She's mine now.
She's mine now. Cool. So, like, I've never not, like, felt
loved like, and, loved. Like, your mom's child. And I think what Matt was saying about putting goggles on and try to look yeah. through my lens is part of that being understanding and not. You can't always understand, but you can be understanding. That was what I was trying to phrase earlier. You can't always understand, but you can always be understanding, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that's very important. Like, I think sometimes, like you said, the best option is to just listen, just sit there, be quiet. There's, you know, giving advice. Sometimes I ask people, well, do you want advice or do you not just want me to be silent? And I think putting on the lens and the goggles of like, I think sitting in silence and just supporting someone is a great way to do it. And also, just saying, I'm sorry, I can't understand, I can't imagine what you're going through, mm-hmm. I think is okay. Like, I think a lot of times as adopted, like, as parents who adopt, I think my parents so desperately wanted to understand so they could just be there for me. Like,
yeah, of course.
But they could never understand because they weren't adopted. And I think as we learned how to live as an adoptive family, my parents learned to be understanding. And that yeah. they weren't ever going to truly understand, but they could be understanding. And I think yeah. that's so important. You know, if you're an adoptive parent and you're like, I just want to understand what my kid is going through, that is so admirable of you, first of all. Yeah. Like, it shows your love for your child. Uh-huh. But the fact that you don't understand what they're going through is okay. That doesn't make you an inadequate parent. You are adequate. You are enough. But just striving to be understanding that they yeah. are going through something that you have not experienced, that you do not know, and giving allowances where you can while also still being a good, you know, a parent with a structure and stuff like that. So, but I think, yeah. you know, I
definitely
think that's
being
the big
patient
thing.
And just open with your, mm-hmm. your children. I think this can go for any family. It's just, you know, it takes time. Like, not every kid is the same. So, like, some may take longer and talk about their feelings than others.
Exactly. And, you know, like we always say, you know, we're here for you on the Wait, I'm Adopted podcast. And, you know, if you're a parent and you want to talk to Megan or I about our stories, or kind of how we dealt with certain things or how our parents might have dealt with certain things that like help us, we would love to have that discussion. Typically if you DM us, Megan will be the first one to respond, but if it's a question more for me, she always lets me know. And I try to get back to you guys as soon as I can. Or if you have a question for Matt, like how yeah. it is like living or like being married to someone that was adopted, and like how he's learned to hold space for some of my things that come with adoption, mm-hmm. you know, for sure, ask us. And if you are adopted and you're like, I need to just connect with other people that are adopted, we are here. We'd love
always
to hear
here.
It. We'd
we'll
love to hear your story.
You.
And we'd love to hear your story. And we'd love to like get to know you more and have a conversation with you about your adoption and anything you might have going on. So you can follow us on Instagram or Facebook, or you can email us at waitimadoptedpodcast@gmail.com. And we release episodes every Monday. We try to cover a lot of topics. And if there's a topic you'd like us to cover, let us know. We'd love to try to tackle
always
it.
Always open to that.
And if you have a topic you'd like to discuss about adoption, if you're adopted, please let us know. We'd love to have you on. We're trying to have on more guests in the 2021 year. But here at the Wait, I'm Adopted podcast, we believe that adoption is beautiful and that adoptees and foster children should feel chosen and loved. But we also understand that each circumstance is different and has its own set of emotions and challenges. So if you're not feeling that way, we want to let you know we are here for you and we love you. We will talk to you next week. And Megan, thank you so much for coming
on.
Yeah,
of course. Thanks
it was
for
great
having
to
me.
Have
I'm so
you.
Honored. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.